Welcome to Philanthropy Today. Our goal is to inspire giving by educating listeners on ways to give and how to connect with charitable causes. My name is Dave Lewis. I'm your host of Philanthropy Today. Thank you for joining the show. Recognizing 25 years of leadership and great things that have happened with the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation since its start in 1999 and working as we have over the last several weeks, visiting with past presidents and past chairs of the board of directors. And, you know, as we look in the early 20s, Vern Hendricks, we had a lot of challenges, not just here in the community, but in a national perspective. You had the graceful opportunity to have a terrific person in a leadership capacity.
We did. Great to have Therese Miller as our board chair that year. Therese is a longtime Manhattanite, been involved in a lot of things, mostly banking and community involvement. But she served as our board treasurer for several years before she joined the board, and then they eventually became chair. And her knowledge of the community and being in the chair at that point in time when things took place was great, and we were able to be reactive and informative. So, Therese, thanks for being chair.
Oh, it was an honor, and actually, I'm humbled by being a part of that board because that was the year that we were coming back out of the pandemic and we were experiencing kind of hybrid meetings. It was the first time we actually met in person again for over a year. And so, you know, I think Zoom really taught us a lot about all of this, especially here we are doing a podcast. And that was probably an outgrowth of just communicating more electronically.
Well, there are a lot of things that we all learned during that time frame. Some of it still continues to haunt us. Some of it continues to benefit us. But let's talk a bit about you getting your first start with the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation.
Okay. I became a trustee in 2010, and that was just kind of, I knew about it. I knew it was out there. I had been involved in United Way. And I had been involved in the emergency shelter. And so I was aware of it. And I knew Sarah Sarasig, and I had worked with her on some committees at the chamber. So I was really excited to be a part of the trustee. And I went to several of their annual meetings. And then the next step was actually becoming treasurer. Dan Yunk, he always gets me into these things. He comes to visit me and says, would you consider being treasurer of the Greater Community Foundation Board? And I said, you know, Dan, this is about 2013-14. And I said, this is kind of a hard time in my life. I would be honored to be the treasurer, but I also don't want to cause a board quorum problem. So therefore, I think this probably isn't good timing. Well, he came back the next day and said, have I got a deal for you?
So, Dan's the dealer, isn't he?
He is. And so he came up with this idea, and I guess it must have gone through an approval process that I be the treasurer and kind of ad hoc for the board. So that's how I got started. And at that time, it was Vern and Marla and Elaine. They had a small office over here, and it was delightful. I got to know them. I got to know the workings of the board, and I got to know, of course, all the financial part about that. So it was a good, really good experience. And then several years later, I became a member of the board. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how that progressed. And then all of a sudden, I'm chair.
So she's had the distinction of serving not only her six-year board term, but I believe it was probably 3 or 4 years before that as treasurer of the board, not a voting member, like she mentioned. Right. So she had a long tenure with the Community Foundation. And from my standpoint, beginning in 13, I mean, you were kind of synonymous as in those roles with my tenure here. And so you've seen a lot of change for sure.
I've seen a lot of change and a lot of so many good things. The growth, I believe it was about a little over 50 million when I first started looking at the financial information. Mm-hmm. And then it became, by the time that I left the board, it was over 220 million, I believe, in 2021. So that is heartwarming. That is amazing. That is a lot due to Mr. Hendricks over here, but that is a testament to our community and the kind of people that live here and how much they care about others.
That vision and servant leadership go a long ways, and it's infectious.
Very, very, yeah, very.
What did it mean to you? You had made mention a tough time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
What did it mean to you to become or the chair of the board?
Oh, my gosh. Not unexpected, I guess, somewhat. I am the kind of leader that likes to be the worker bee and maybe not the out in front of the train person. So this was a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the best part was just getting to see how passionate and caring all the other board members are.
Really, lead by example.
Well, I hope so.
Yes. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. She did a great job. Obviously, when she gets involved in something, she's certainly going to be working. So her year as board chair was led by that. I mean, they'd known she had been the treasurer before and they'd been involved. So she knew the inner workings of what the trustees did and the Community Foundation Board does. And so those around her looked to her guidance and advice. And we relied on her knowledge of the community and, of course, the financial aspects of things. So she provided a great sense of comfort for us, for her as board chair, and at the same time aspiring to do more for the community, because Therese was very involved in the community in her professional days, I guess I could say. And so that inspires everybody to want to do the same thing.
Therese, let's talk a bit about some of the things that happened during your year as chair of the board. And here it was, a big transition time in a lot of respects, not just locally, but globally.
Globally, very much so. As I mentioned, I think we went back into meeting in person. We had a combination of kind of a hybrid. We had some of our members that wished to join us on Zoom. And that is just a marvelous way to have people come together. And well, some of the other things that happened, we started podcasts, which that's just a great way that I think younger people look for information and news. I'm still the person that reads the real newspaper, but I don't think that happens very often to a lot of people. We began the Inside MHK. We started murals. And I think that has really enhanced our community because of the generosity of the Deal Foundation. We were able to, and the Deal Funds, provide an art aspect to what we do at the Community Foundation. That was very gratifying. We also began discussions about affordable daycare in Manhattan, and that is moving forward. I think it's a slow train, but I'm very hopeful that that's going to happen. But that was almost 3 years ago. So
there are a lot of cars.
There's a lot of cars.
To,
there are. But, you know, with a lot of the people at the Community Foundation, I think they have pushed that train forward.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things you take into consideration, the challenges that every community faces. Talked about this before, about addressing solutions, but also the vision and, you know, addressing those community needs. So when you think about all these different things, as you look back, how do you feel that the foundation is best serving the needs in the community?
I think probably one of the best things is, first of all, they are a resource for someone looking to help someone. Donor advised funds, they're a great way for someone to be able to make a donation. And sometimes that is a tax decision. And yet they don't have to make a quick decision. So they can later put those funds to the fund that they want to help. And then there's also just the nonprofits in this community do a great job of collaborating with each other. And I think that is huge. We don't over-duplicate services. And I think the Community Foundation has played a huge role in keeping those people talking to each other, keeping them focused on what their part of the puzzle is to help someone, and also just being a resource for the funds that they need. And I think a great testament to that is probably Grow Green, one of my very favorite.
It should be a holiday here.
It should be. I think it is.
Everybody should be able to take a day off, come down, make a contribution, help out people in need.
I think it's almost becoming that way. It's kind of euphoric. And I think during COVID, it kind of, you know, it was almost sad that we couldn't do that. For the last 2 years, we've been able to do it in person again. And I think people get so much gratification out of being it doesn't matter the size of the gift. There's just that they can come down and they feel like they're really making a difference.
Well, it's become a social aspect to the world we are involved in also. The affiliates, continue to add on, and they see what we do here.
They see what we do here, and I have to really give Vern the compliment for keeping and getting those people together. That was over and above the regular day-to-day things that we do here at the Community Foundation. And if they don't have to do and pay for all that backroom stuff, they can really take their funds and do more good in their smaller communities.
Well, it's been a tremendous model for people to build on, isn't it?
It really has. It really has.
Well, and Teresa's year and her experience in banking was a perfect example. She kind of got the old idea of us being kind of the corporate foundation for all the others during this time frame. And little by little, one or two every year, kind of grow into it and you get to understand the conveniences of that. So we've been able to expand the program. And that's where it's been good for not only Manhattan, but Northeast Kansas as well.
Let's take a look at the Therese Miller's crystal ball for the future of the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation and some of the things that you'd like to see us move forward in.
Well, I guess some of the things that we're already attempting to help with, I think I already mentioned affordable daycare. I have a great interest in affordable housing. That was my specialty, I guess you could call it, in my work life. And so I really understand how important it is to someone's success in so many aspects of their life if they have a secure place to live. So I think if we can help them in some way or another in that way, I think we've studied it too much. And if we just need to move forward on it somehow.
Well, you've been a wonderful leader and inspiring leader in our community for many years. And thank you for sharing your stories.
Well, thank you. It's a gift to live in Manhattan.
Well, and I think what Teresa mentioned about studying things too much, that's where the Community Foundation has really kind of come into play a lot of times, because we are in a position where we have influence and affluence with individual support. So some of these issues that don't seem to be getting taken off the discussion box, it's time that we get involved and bring those partners or partnership and fund holders that we know to the table and say, okay, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? It happened with the Manhattan Park and Rec program in the summer school program when we were trying to make affordable experience for kids so that they can participate. Childcare has been an initiative. Housing has been a discussion. And so all these kinds of things, as the Community Foundation grows, it has become obvious that we're going to become a leader in all of these areas in some way, shape, or form. So,
Therese, looking back, it's got to be a moment of pride for you.
Oh, I think so. It's just beautiful to see this happening in Manhattan. I don't see this in all communities that I have an opportunity to visit. So, like I said, I think it's a gift to live here.
Thank you for joining us for Philanthropy Today, an inside look at the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. You can always learn more about the GMCF at our website, mcfks.org. We also invite you to subscribe to Philanthropy Today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dave Lewis. I'm proud to host Philanthropy Today. It's hosted and produced in the Ad Astra Cast Studios in downtown Manhattan, Kansas.